Okay, we were saying that God is answering the question. Actually, Isaiah, you say, "Oh, Isaiah, don't blame me. I'm not the one." It's Zion. "I'm not the one." It's Jerusalem. He said, "Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city." So the solution is revival. We will talk more about that. But what is the reason of this lack of power? What is the reason? Why? Why is it that we don't experience what they experienced? And that will help us also to know what to do. Said here, in the spirit of prophecy, Christ declared that the divine influence of the Spirit was to be with his followers until the end. But the promise is not appreciated as it should be. So that is one of the reasons why we don't have this power. Why? He said, but. This but. First of all, Christ declared that the divine influence of the Spirit was to be with his followers unto the end. Again. So there is no change. There is no weakened power. God has promised it. But the promise is not appreciated as it should be. And therefore, its fulfillment is not seen as it might be. You see, when you analyze the sermons, the talks and many things, we don't talk much about this thing. We talk about many things, but we don't really emphasize this topic. And that's why Ellen G. White said, it's not really appreciated. Okay. So, we have already discovered one of the reasons why we don't have this power. It is from the spirit of prophecy. The promise is not appreciated as it should be. And therefore, its fulfillment is not seen as it might be. The promise of the Spirit is a matter of little thought of, and the result is only what might be expected. Spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. So this is the result of it. We don't talk much about this. We're kind of playing it down, the power. And this is the trick of the enemy, the trick of the devil. Because if he manages to make us believe that we don't need this power, then he will overpower us. So he does not want us to talk much about this. He does not want us to pray about this. Because the very moment we have this, then he's gone. So the devil is trying to make sure that we are busy talking about many things except this. Because he's afraid of this. Is afraid of someone who has the power of God. Because the same power defeated him in heaven. So if you bring the same power, then he is defeated here. So he's saying, "Oh, you can talk about many things, but not power. We don't appreciate much about this." And then spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and finally death. And we don't want to die spiritually. Why? Minor matters occupy the attention of the divine and the divine power which is necessary for the growth and posterity of the church and which would bring all of our blessing in its strength is lacking though offered in its infinite plenitude. Minor matters. We talk about matters. But they are minor. They are not big. Because the devil wants us to talk about many things. Not necessarily bad, but not power. Because he is afraid of someone who is filled with the power of God. So minor matters occupy the attention and the divine power which is necessary for the growth and posterity of the church. We don't talk much about it. We may talk about many things like methods and nothing wrong with methods. We talk about many things. Nothing wrong. But the problem here is emphasis. We don't emphasize. But for us to be strong, we need the power of God. Yeah. Ellen G. White talked to a sister. A sister. It can be also my brother. thank you. Said here, my sister, eat less. Engage in physical labor and devote your mind to spiritual things. Keep your mind from dwelling upon yourself. Cultivate a contented, cheerful spirit. You talk too much upon unimportant things. So this is the reason why we lack power. We lack power because we talk too much upon what? Unimportant things. Remember, it is not said here bad things. Unimportant things. You talk too much upon unimportant things. You gain no spiritual strength from this. If the strength spent in talking were devoted to prayer, you would receive spiritual strength and would make melody in your heart to God. So this is the reason why. One of the reasons. We talk too much about unimportant things. And we don't have time to pray. We have time to talk to people, but no time to talk to God. And then the spirit of prophecy said, if the time that we spend talking to people, we spend talking to God, would have more power. So we need to discipline ourselves. Not that we are going to isolate yourself, but talk about important things. Talk about the power of God. Talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let this be our talk. We want it. We really want it. And then you will have power. If you don't talk about it, if you don't pray about it, if you don't ask for it, then it is so clear we will not have the power. That is the reason. We'll continue. And then the second one, sin. You remember the experience of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, he said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That was the promise. And sure enough, no one stood against Joshua. It was not possible. He had the power of God. But, as you remember, in Joshua chapter 7, they were defeated. They were defeated and Joshua could not understand. Joshua said, what is going on? I received the promise that no one will stand against me and actually experienced it because of the war against Jericho. He was so powerful, even crossing the Jordan River. God operated miracles. And here, this little city of Ai, they were defeated. So Joshua was devastated. He could not understand. Said, why? And God said, no, don't ask me why. There is a problem. The children of Israel played with sin. And he said, Israel has sinned. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Sin is the way of the devil for us not to have this power. If we play with sins, I'm talking about playing, living with sins. We are all sinners. But I'm talking here about something that we like, something that we live and it is in us. We want it. There is no way we can think of power. There is no way. Just think of this. If we spend all our time, or most of our time, watching something that we should never watch. Pictures. Reading things that we should never read as Christians. Do you think the power of God will fall upon us? No way. There's no way. If we don't control our internet, our television, we just watch, we just go into any site that we want and no screening, there's no way we can have that power. So the reason we don't have this power, we talk too much about many things, but playing down the power of God, and also if we live in sin, whatever we listen, the kind of music we are listening, the kind of things that we are watching on TV or through an internet, we cannot have this power. Just think of those things. Do you think that if we enjoy watching pornography, we can claim the power of God? If we think of doing things, we're reading all kind of things that really poisoning our mind, do we think that the power of God will fall upon us? No. Well, maybe I was talking about the ugly sins. But it can be also something like hatred, like jealousy, like things, grudges. Do you think that the power of God will fall upon us? No. Joshua had that experience. Achan did something, and the result was lack of power. They went there and they were defeated. That is the reason. So, this is what I read. I trembled when I read this. He said, the church has gone over to the world in transgression of the law. When the world should have come over to the church in obedience to the law, daily the church is being converted to the world. Daily, not even monthly. Daily, the church is being converted to the world. So instead of us giving them example, unfortunately, we are following the example. Instead of us being unashamed, our theme, we are ashamed. And we try always to comply, to compromise. Said, you know what? Let's accept this. A little compromise here and there. The power of God cannot come down as long as we compromise. If we study the lives of those people used by God in a mighty way, for them, their life was not a life of compromise. For them, they know only one thing: Jesus Christ and His teaching. And they decided to follow it no matter what. That is a price to pay. So here, daily, the church has been converted to the world. As I told you, I'm originally from Madagascar, that island. But we are called to serve in the mainland, the continent of Africa. That was Central Africa. It was Zaire then. It is Congo now. Changed the name. The Lord has blessed us there. That was a time of challenges, but also a time of great opportunities to serve the Lord. If we have time, I may tell you some of the challenges we had. But to illustrate this, I want to share with you one experience. There was a man, a pop singer. His name is Patrice, French speaking, of course. So he was so popular. He was so influential. He was popular. He wrote many songs. When people talk about him, the people say, well, this man is so famous. But one day, he met Jesus. He met Jesus, and then he was asking the question, what am I going to do for this talent that God has given me? Writing songs and singing. He prayed about it, and it was so clear in his mind that he has to use this to glorify God. So he continued to write songs, but this time, gospel songs, music. And he wrote one song, and the title of the song is Confusion Upon Confusion. That is where he was telling his experience, his story, his conversion. And he said, in the song, I was in the world. I tried everything to make me happy. But finally, I was just chasing winds. I was not happy at all. And then he said, I decided to leave the world. And I ran to the church. And lo and behold, he said, I found the world in the church. Confusion upon confusion. That's why the title. So he was tired of the worldly life. And he said, no, this is not the kind of life I want to be. I want to run away from this kind of life. He ran and went to the church. And he was thinking that it will be different. But the worldly ways you saw and you ran away from, you found some of them in the church. And he was confused. He said, what is going on? And that's why he wrote that song, Confusion Upon Confusion. Why? We don't have the power now. This is the answer. He said, daily the church is being converted to the world. He said, instead of giving example to the world, we are molding ourselves according to the standard of the world. And we are bringing into the church some of those things and in our lives as well. You know, the Christian life is always a counterculture against something of this world. Some people would like to make us more friendly, more worldly, politically correct, doing all these things. Of course, we need to also to work on that, to find a way to reach out, but never to compromise on principle. Never lowering down our standard. So I want us to say that if you really want, I want just to say, if you really want this power, we need to decide that the kind of life that we need to have by the grace of God is a life of total commitment, non-compromising of whatever, just follow Him no matter what. That is the price to pay. If we are not willing to do that, forget about this power. It will not come, because the pipe is full of many things. The bottle is full of many things. There is no space for the power of God. It has to be emptied first. So, it's the power of God. There is a river in Zambia, in Africa. The name of the river is Luapula in Zambia. This river is an interesting thing. I crossed it. This river, the word Luapula means cutting through in that language. Because this river is cutting through three big lakes, one lake after another, cutting through one lake, go through the mountains and then meet another lake, and cutting through that, another one, three big, not small, big lakes. I cross this river in the middle of the lake. So this river is something special. Actually, it is a dangerous thing. The name is Luapula because it, as I said, it cuts through three lakes. But when the river cuts those lakes, the thing is, it does not change the speed. And it's different. So you can tell. They said, oh, now be careful. We are going to cross the river. And so many people already died, because it is a stubborn river. It is so powerful, crossing those big lakes, but not changing its identity. They said that even the fish from that river, you see, the fish from the lake and the fish from that big river, when the river crosses the lake, and people, the fishermen, when they catch fish from that river in the middle of the lake, it tastes differently. And the water is different. You take the water from the lake just few feet, a little bit aside, and you take the water from the river, they are different. Different fish, different tasted of water. And I said, this is important. This is a powerful illustration. We have this river, the people of God. And this lake is the world. And we are marching to Zion. And as we are marching to Zion, we need not to change. We remain intact. Yes, we have to pass through this world, but we should never allow ourselves to be swallowed by the world. We need to remain intact, like this river. Why no power? We are converted to the world. What is in your life that stops you from getting this power? Anything that is against the will of God. Anything that will stop us from getting this full power. And this is the time for reflection. If you want to have this power, we need to take this decision. That is one reason. We don't have the power because of sin, play with sin. We don't talk, we don't emphasize. The third one, we don't ask. We don't ask. He said, yet you do not have because you do not ask. The power is there, but you don't ask. Because it is there, it is available, but you have to claim it. As long as we don't claim it, we'll not have it. We, for example, we may not play with sin, but we don't ask. He said, since this is the means by which, since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? Acts of Apostles, page 50. Why? Sister White says, why do we not talk of it? We don't talk of it. Why we are not praying for it? Why we are not preaching concerning it? Because in Christ's object lesson, the Spirit awaits our demand and reception. Waiting. The Spirit is waiting for us now. He said, oh, these people are not asking for my power. I'm available, but they are not asking. We don't have it because we don't ask. That's why in this seminar we are going to ask. When they ask, because we don't have because we don't ask. So to have it, we need to ask. It's so simple. Just like 1 plus 1 equals 2. Just ask and you will have it. Counsels on Health, page 367. If you want power, you may have it, as it is awaiting your draft upon it. Only believe in God, take Him at His word, act by faith, and blessings will come. Isn't that clear? If you want power, all of us want the power of God. Then, ask for it, because it is awaiting your draft upon it. Only believe in God, take Him at His word, act by faith, and blessings will come. So what we need is a revival of true godliness. That is our greatest and most urgent of all our needs. Let's pause for a moment here. I want you to read this silently and think of it. And tell me, if we take this literally, the way it is, what will be the impact of this in our lives? Individual life and even the church. I give you 1 minute and I will let you reflect and share. Share what you think. Yeah, just read this and try to understand the impact of this in your individual life. If we really believe in this, what will be the change in our life? The way you see things, the way we do things, our priority. Okay, I've given you some clues. Okay, let's go. What do you think? Yes. Okay, it will have an impact on our life. Yes.
I was going to say that if you put God first, then you're going to start studying the Bible more, you'll start praying more, and these will be the first things you do in your day, affecting real change in your character, and that will be evidenced by your behavior and by your actions when you're dealing with others, and very noticeable.
Thank you so much. So, our priority will be changed. Because he said the revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. So it is important and urgent. You see, in management, when something is important and urgent, what do? You have to do it. It is important and at the same time urgent. Meaning, this is the something that we need to do right away. He said, to seek this should be our first work. So, the problem is that our priority is messed up. Somewhere. We start with the wrong things. We spend a lot of time with some other things. And we don't have time to do this. Why we don't have power? Because we don't take it as an urgent and important thing. In our personal life, and also as a church at large, we need to, even our program must reflect this, how we are going to spend the Sabbath, how we are going to spend the Sabbath afternoon, how we are going to spend the week, must reflect this. As long as we don't change our priority, then we will not have this power. The priority must be this revival. The priority must be this relationship with God. Yes. Yes.
A death. And we need to be revived. We need to be awakened out of that. Because our sleep needs to be death.
Yeah. I agree with you, both of you. The idea is this. If we don't stop it, the result is clear. Because instead of going up, we are going down. And we know we have to reverse that. That is the point. If we don't reverse it fast, then the end will be death. It is like the Laodicean message that we have to receive. The Master is giving that because he does not want it to continue that way. So the message that we are saying is this. What our situation is not what the Lord wants us to be. We have to have more power, but we don't have that. But God is giving us a solution. Right now we are just trying to diagnose what is the problem. And we start to give already the prescription. You see, when you go to the physician, sometimes he is worsening your situation. Oh, you have this. You have this. You have this. And we may think, no, I'm not that bad. But he wants us to know our true situation so that we are agreeable to take the medicine or the prescription. Like someone, he went to the medical doctor and the doctor said, oh, no, you have this sickness. He argued. He said, no, doctor, I don't have that. I'm well. But the physician said, do you see it is here. He said, no. So he was busy arguing and he did not accept the prescription. And later on, that small sickness became very serious and he died of it. It was too late. It was too late. So what we are doing now is to do like what that medical doctor, saying that, look, we don't have this power. Why? Because we don't, many times, we don't spend time talking about it and praying about it and asking for it. And the result is declension. And finally, if we don't stop it, we will die. It is sure. It's just a matter of time. But the mere fact that we are here today, God has a plan for us. For us to experience this power 100%. All right. Assured of supernatural help. They are to contend with supernatural forces, but they are assured of supernatural help. All the intelligence of heaven are in this army, and more than angels are in the ranks. The Holy Spirit, the representative of the captain of the Lord's host, comes down to direct the battle. Why we don't have power? Many times we work alone. We use our natural power, our natural forces to preach the gospel. But the spirit of prophecy says, no, we need the supernatural power. He said they are to contend with supernatural forces of the devil, but they are assured of supernatural help. You see, we are not alone. When we preach the gospel, you are not alone. We are not to use just our natural force. That is very small. And we will never defeat the devil with our natural strength. It's not possible. First of all, he's stronger than us. We are not here glorifying the devil. But it's real. And even the age, we are just probably... when it comes to experience, at least for 6,000 years, he has been doing this. He has already tricked so many people, starting with the angels, and then in Eden, and throughout the ages. So when it comes to experience, we cannot match him. So if we are using our natural strength, the result, the outcome is clear. We will be defeated. But we are not to use our natural, just natural abilities. Of course, God wants us to use our natural abilities. But not only that. What is it here? Supernatural forces. And who are those? All the intelligence of heaven. All the angels. They are with us. They are here. Can you imagine? Not only one. Many. I've been thinking of this. Let's say, one of us here. Every one of us, we have our own angel. Right? So, right here, we have the number of angels. Our number. If we are 50 or 60... then at least in this room, right now, we have 60 angels. Can you think of that? This is power. And not only the angels, but the Holy Spirit. God is with us. The power of God. Why we don't have power? We tend to just be contented with our natural abilities. But God's ability is available to us. Let's go quickly. We are not alone. He said our infirmities may be many. Is that true? Yes. We are weak. Our sins and mistakes grievous. But the grace of God is for all who seek it with contrition. The power of omnipotence is enlisted in behalf of those who trust in God. We will talk about how to be totally forgiven. We talked about that. How to be totally forgiven. saw that this power of God. You know, God, definitely, God is not requiring perfection from us. Perfection, the way people understand it. Perfect, no fault, no mistake, 100%. Can you reach that? All of us here need to quit. If that is the requirement, just quit. This should be the last seminar. Because there is no way we can do that. Starting with me. But what God requires is that we must be forgiven. And we must accept this sacrifice that He has given through His blood. And every day we need to do that. Being justified. Being totally forgiven. This is what God wants. If that is the requirement in Jesus Christ, then I will not quit. Because it is by grace. This is what God wants. And this is what He wants us to do every day. And that is it. We talked about sins a while ago. If we have those habits, we should not be discouraged. What we need is to come to Jesus, who has the power. And He will give us the power to overcome those habits, maybe addiction, bad habits, even the habits of gossiping or doing things, some, humanly speaking, ugly, but with God, they are all sins. But what God wants is for us to go to the cross and accept His forgiveness. And once we accept that, then we give ourselves to Him and He will pour His power in us and He will change us completely. Yes. Because, yes, if that is the meaning of perfection in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is perfect, then we will have that perfection in Jesus Christ. Accept it. We receive the perfection, not in us, but given to us. Yes. So this is what God wants. It's not the perfection of human perfection, but Jesus Christ who died, and in Him we are totally perfect. And I like that. Then our salvation is assured. And the power that we are talking about is the result of our relationship with God. I jump a little bit the gun, but anyway. That is the dynamics of a group like this. So we are not alone at all. What we need, you see, yes.
The experience is that God digs deeper. Through the Holy Spirit, He reveals new things that we didn't even realize were there.
Yes.
Because the situation and circumstances that bring out the fault in our character, we then take the same, using the same process, go to Jesus and receive the power. And we are going from glory to glory. That we're going from perfection to perfection.
Mm.
In other words, this is a process. It's a sanctification process.
Yes.
We're perfect at every stage.
That's true. In Jesus Christ, actually, the most important thing here, we will discover this, is this relationship. The relationship we have with Jesus Christ is so important. It is just like any relationship. Husband and wife. The wife is not perfect in the way we understand perfect in the worldly understanding. The husband is not perfect, but the love and the marriage lasts. Because of what? Because of the relationship and understanding. And Jesus Christ actually used that illustration to illustrate our relationship. So as long as we have this strong relationship, then we will grow from strength to strength. It is walking. Christianity is walking, not standing or sitting. We are walking. And we grow. That's why we are saying born again. Born again, growing. Okay, let me run through this quickly. I want to conclude this now. Do some exercise. If you take the epistles written by Paul, what do you see? You see every time you have introduction, greetings, right? And you have the body of the epistle, and what remains? The last part is what? Conclusion and greetings again. You see that all the time. Introduction, the body of the epistles, and conclusion and greetings. But go to the book of Acts. You have only introduction. You have the body talking about the apostles, especially two characters, Peter and Paul. But if you go to the last chapter, do you find the conclusion there? There's no conclusion. Is that an omission or an oversight? No, it is not an omission. It was done on purpose. Because the book of Acts, the last chapters of book of Acts are yet to be written. That's why we don't have conclusion on that. No greetings, no conclusion, because the last chapters of the book of Acts are yet to be written. And you see, if you go to Christian Service page 256, from the beginning, God has been working by His Holy Spirit through human instrumentalities for the accomplishment of His purpose in behalf of a fallen race. This was manifest in the lives of the patriarchs. You see, acts of the Holy Spirit through the patriarchs. To the church in the wilderness also. In the time of Moses, God gave His good Spirit to instruct them. And in the days of the apostles, that is the book of Acts, He wrote mightily for the East Church through the agency of the Holy Spirit. The same power that sustained the patriarchs, that gave Caleb and Joshua faith and courage, and that made the work of the apostolic church effective, has upheld God's faithful children in every succeeding ages. It is the same. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that during the dark ages, the Waldensian Christians helped to prepare the way for the Reformation. It was the same power that made successful the efforts of the noble men and women who pioneered the way for the establishment of the modern missions and for the translation of the Bible into the languages and dialects of all nations. And people, the same power through the ages. Now, the book of Acts, no conclusion. Because you and I, we still need to write chapters there. The acts of the Holy Spirit in your lives. I want to tell you about the experience of this, and I conclude with this and we'll pray. There is a brother. His name is Golden Lapani. He's from Malawi. He was trained to be a teacher of biology. Was not reared as a Christian. Actually, he was Muslim. Practical. Practicing one. And then, he was sick. And he had a dream. And the dream was, look, if you want to be healed, be a Christian. He said, but how? It cannot be. He said, no, you have to be healed. And he woke up. And he said, okay, I'm sick. Let me follow that. That was 27 years ago. And he decided to be Christian and Adventist. And of course he accepted the teaching, and whatever is written in the Bible, he applied that in his life. And he became so enthusiastic in preaching of the gospel. And he decided to change professions. Instead of teaching, he became a farmer so that he will be able to preach more. He will be free in his schedule and all this. That is how God called him. And this brother is used by God. He is just the modern people in the book of Acts. Right now, he is in Malawi. A lay person. Every year, he brings to Christ at least 8,000 people. And 50% of those come from Muslim background. That's amazing. A man, 2 months ago, he went to a village, Brother Lapani. There are only 80 Adventists in this village. So he went there and preached the gospel. Five weeks preaching the gospel. That was about 2 months ago. Very fresh. Almost 3,000 were baptized. From 80 to 3,000, 2 months ago. He is not just rushing people to go to the baptismal pool. He only accepts to baptize those who are really ready. One day, because there was baptismal ceremonies through during the 2 weeks, I believe about 500 that Sabbath, they wanted to be baptized. He only accepted 120. He is not, because the remaining, he is still going to teach them. Quantity and quality. Almost 3,000. And many things happening. The power of God. People receives blessings from above. You can see this brother, he has the power of God. What is the key? I interviewed him. Actually, he is my prayer partner. And I said, brother, this is not usual. These people are very hard to get. If you get few, that is something. But thousands of them. Said, this is the power of God. Said, what is the key? I learned from him. I said to myself, if we have only 100 like him, or 1,000 like him, you can tell what will happen. He He is writing chapters of the book of Acts. Not only adding numbers, but whatever is written in the book of Acts, even miracles, happen in his life and in his ministry. Whatever is written there, they are repeated. Exactly the way it is written in the spirit of prophecy. When it is said, these things are to be repeated. And they said, wow, this is the version, 21st version of the early church. He said, Brava Lapani, golden, what is the key? Do you know the key? Prayer and the Bible. And total surrender to God. When he talked to him, he has only one thing in his mind. Serving God, loving people, and praying. He would like to pray for you. When you ask him to pray, oh, Brother Lapani, would you pray for this? He is so happy. Yes, thank you. It is like a favor that you have asked him to pray. And when he prayed, it is not. He can pray all night for you. And you can fast. And he is so humble. He would not boast for anything. That's why God trusts him to do these mighty things. And we will, this afternoon, we will go into some of the keys to get this power. So this thing is possible. I have seen it. It is happening now. And in a very hard situation. Nobody can say, oh, it's easy to win these people. No, it's hard. But the Holy Spirit is working in a mighty way. Through prayer, Bible studies, and total consecration to God, we will regain this power. That is the key. Do you want, by His grace, that you too, you want to have this power? This power. And when you leave this place, in your version, you will write another chapter of the book of Acts. In your city, in your town, in your school, wherever you are, you will write another version. That is our goal, to write a version of the book of Acts. We are going to spend some time now praying. That is the key. And we'll spend some of our time also learn how to, as I said, how to have our prayer answered. Because this brother, it is exactly what is written in the Bible. The bulk of his prayers are answered, yes. Only few knows. And the Bible will tell us what is the key for that. I have discovered this only about 2 years ago. I've been wrestling about this. Why so many yeses in the Bible and few no's? Why? Studying the Bible and praying. And one day, I said, wow, this is the key. And I've seen that in the life of this man. That is the key. And I'm eager to share this with all of us. But right now, my time is up already. Time is quite short, and I want to keep time. I don't want to hold you up. But we will spend time now praying. What we are going to pray is the forgiveness of our sins. That is the most important, to be forgiven. And God has made provision. That is the good news. Yes, we are sinners, but God has made provision for us to be forgiven. So we should never be discouraged. Whatever we are now, whatever is our situation, This is the good news. We can always come to God, and God will forgive us. And I understand that when you think of us as His children, God is our Father, and He's willing to forgive His children. Just think of God, of not only King, but He's our Father. He's willing. So let's pray. What we'll do is we'll pray in twos, group of twos. And just for about 1 minute, silent prayer. Every one of us will just talk to God, ourselves. And then after 1 minute, just pray for one another. And when you are done, just sit down, and that will be the end of our session today.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright 2010, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.